This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Very good afternoon to our Cape Radio Cape Pulpit listeners. I'm so excited to be back with you this afternoon. I'm Calvin.
And I'm Terry.
And this is Couples of Destiny. We are really excited because once again this week we have special guests in the studio. They're offering up their time and their experience. And I believe there's someone listening this afternoon, many of you that have situations and challenges in your relationship. And, you know, this afternoon we're talking about restoration, life after divorce. People don't like to hear the D word, but it's a reality. We're living in a society where it's, you know, it's really rampant out there and people are challenged. And so we're going to hear from a wonderful couple. But before I get them to speak about their background, I'm just going to ask them just to say hello to the listeners.
Hello, everybody. I'm Rusty Labuskagne, fourth generation Zimbabwean and living in Cape Town now. Awesome. And I want to thank Terry and Kelvin for the invitation.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
I'm Sandra, Rusty's wife, and it's wonderful to be here. And I can't wait to share our story with the listeners.
You know, I'm so excited. I feel like I want to tell your story. Just the short time that I've been speaking to you this afternoon about your testimony. And I'm sure this is going to impact a life, if not more than one. You know, there's always hope. And people don't really think about the effects during and after the proceedings and everything. So we look forward to hearing about your incarceration, what happened during, after, and where you are right now.
Thank you.
Amen.
So stay tuned, listeners. And we're going over to a song break. But please, when we're back, we want to hear from you. You know, send us a WhatsApp on 0817291657. Connect with us on Facebook. We'll be here waiting for you. We're going over to Chris Tomlin says, I lift my hands. Family, we're so excited to be with you once again, and we're talking this afternoon. We've got a topic on restoration, life after divorce, and we have special guests in our studios here, Rusty and Sandra Labuskagne, and we really want to hear from you this afternoon. The listeners need to hear from you. Won't you just tell us, just briefly, tell us your story?
I'm a fourth generation Zimbabwean from a cattle ranching background. Born in school at 6 years old, lost my dad at 12, went through the Rhodesian Bush War in Zimbabwe, in Rhodesia then. Crazy about rugby and water polo, but it was a rough upbringing. And in those years, you build a wall around you. And when you lose your dad at 12, you have fear of rejection, fear of failure. My next mentor was killed in an airplane crash, so I suppressed all that trauma. Yeah. Never expressed it. And as a result, I never let anyone close to me. And I got married at 20. I met somebody that I felt I could make mine and my little princess, you know. And unfortunately, when I look back on it, I realized that I tried to change her the way I wanted her.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we tried to make the marriage work. We had kids, and that didn't help. And I went into the safari industry. Cut a long story short, after 14 years, we got divorced. And I became very successful, flying my own airplane, 5 safari camps, fishing resort on Lake Kariba in Zimbabwe. Everything was going fantastic. And then I was framed for drowning a fish poacher.
Sure.
And spend 10 years in Zimbabwe's prisons. Just to give you an idea on what I went through, the cells were 13 meters long by 3 meters wide.
Wow.
We were 79 guys in there.
Sure.
Everybody got 13 inches, 33 centimeters, marked out on the walls in chalk. That was your space. So you're packed like sardines on your sides with legs all crossing over in the middle. You all faced the same direction. When you turned over, it was all together. We had no basins or taps in the cells, and only one set of clothing was allowed at any one time. So we had to wash our clothes in the cell toilets at night wearing a blanket. In my first, the lice were unimaginable. They were everywhere, thousands of them that bit you day and night. And I think that was the worst for me. of all the harsh conditions. In 2005, because I went in 2003, in 2005, Harare City ran out of water. I was in Chikurubi Maximum Security Prison. For 3 years, while in Chikurubi Maximum Security Prison, each prisoner was allocated only one plastic cup of water a day. One cup of dirty orange city runoff water from a nearby dam carried by farm prisoners. That was to drink, clean your teeth, wash your face, bath, everything for 3 years.
Sure.
In my first 6 years, I watched over 2,200 guys die in prison. When I was moved to the medium security prison during the cholera outbreak of 2008 and 2009, in 8 months, out of 1,200 of us prisoners at Harare Central Prison, 432 guys died.
Sure.
And I'm telling you this because when you go through that, when you start with nothing, you build up your life. I was as far away from God as I could get. My life was all about ego, power, and money.
Sure.
There's material possessions, me, more and more, my empire. And when I went in there, it broke all of that. I lost everything.
Oh.
But I would never change it for anything because I found the Lord in prison. I was put on death row for a cell phone misdemeanor. And we grew up not praying. That's just how it was in those days. And I got on my knees and I prayed. It happened once before during the war in Rhodesia. I was 18. I got lost in the mountains. And the first time ever in my life I prayed. I was in a very bad place, bad situation. And I felt this feeling of like warm water being poured over me. And I had no idea what it was. I mean, I'd never prayed before.
Mm.
And I stood up and very carefully walked down that mountain, same way I'd come up. Anyway, long story short, it was miraculous. There were two car tire tracks there. My uncle had shot a kurubul there during the rains the year before. And there was no road. It's undeveloped cattle country. 25,000 acres, the ranches. Not a single person within a 20K radius. The ranches were all deserted. And I followed those tracks. And when they ran out, I saw where they cut the trees through the mountains till as it was getting dark. When I prayed on death row, I felt that feeling again. Because I never told anyone what happened in that mountain. I was scared they'd laugh at me and think I was crazy or weak. And that's how it was back then, during the war. On death row, then I knew, when I felt that feeling, that there was something. And that was a big turning point in my spiritual walk. I still didn't go home for 2.5 years, but I knew there was a big picture. And I wasn't an atheist, but I found it hard to believe that someone can walk on water and change bread to wine and all that stuff. And then I left prison, went into the safari business, started talking. On one of the safaris, I met somebody that I told my story. And he said, I've got a new life for you, my friend. This is your calling and I want to help you. Cut a long story short, he flew me to Joburg, put a PowerPoint together, started talking all around South Africa. And that's when I met Sandra. So I lived with someone before prison. I was supposed to get married. And when I went to prison after 4 years, she moved on. So 2 years after I left prison, I started the speaking. The end of that year, 3.5 years later, I met Sandra. And she was very close to the Lord. And I let her share her side. But then my hunger for more of Jesus, more of this thing I didn't know anything about. And we got to stay in Pastor Ray McCauley's cottage in 2018. And we became very close to him. I spent hours and hours with Pastor Ray and gave my life to him, to the Lord, with him. And I didn't, like, open my eyes and everything was different. And then the following year, 2019, we had a free trip to Israel together. And that was, you know, I just wanted to learn more about Jesus and all that stuff. And I was baptized in the River Jordan, where Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And still, I didn't, like, open my eyes and everything was different. And with Pastor Ray, we heard many generals speak, you know, from all over the world. And I was the one that had built these walls around me. And I blocked everything out. I couldn't receive. I couldn't. I couldn't let my guard down and trust anyone again. Just fear of failure, fear of rejection. And when I went to Israel, Angus Buchan was preaching at the Feast of Tabernacles. And his message was beginnings, going back to the Bible. And he made 4,500 of us crowd the stage and vow that we're going to read our Bibles from cover to cover. So I said to Sandra, okay, I want to do this. I've tried to read the Bible. It didn't make sense, probably a King James or something. So when we got back, I bought an NIV, and I just loved it. It's adventure and war and this manly stuff. And I think in the first 2 years, I read the Bible about twice. And slowly, the walls started coming down, and I started getting more hungry for the Lord. And our relationship improved because it was rocky. You know, still in that old me.
Yeah.
And now I was starting to melt. I was starting to break down. And then someone sent me a clip of Prophet Leon de Prier. And I saw this supernatural stuff, this prophesying and healing and casting out demons. It's the stuff I was reading about. I was just hungry. And then I fell in love with the Lord. So it's one weekend, I did a talk in Georgia at a men's conference. And I got back, I was praying in tongues, getting up at 5 in the morning, reading my Bible. I was telling everyone about Jesus.
That's incredible. Yeah. I'm listening to your story and I'm thinking, we got to give your wife an opportunity. But we're going to go to a song break quickly. And then we want to hear from you, Sandra, your side as well, and how God just brought the two of you together, that miraculous moment. So we're going to go over to a song by Stella called Set Our Hearts on You. Family, we've been listening to a wonderful couple. And in fact, Rusty was sharing his testimony a little bit before the break. So maybe just going over to Sandra. Maybe Sandra, you want to share your side. Rusty shared, you know, how his experience with God and, you know, being divorced and coming into this relationship with you. Maybe just from your side, how you guys got together and what God obviously prompted you.
Well, I can really say that when you think that there is no plan left, God always has a plan for us. And that is what's so amazing, because I went through a very, very difficult divorce. I never planned to get divorced. I didn't want to get divorced. And suddenly I found myself getting divorced. And I was completely devastated. I didn't know how to handle it. I was married for 26 years.
Wow.
We were a close family. I've got two boys who are grown up now. But it was really devastating.
Yeah.
And you don't know how to handle it. Divorce is a very destructive force. It's not God's plan at all. And I didn't know how I was going to get through it. I was alone, and I was also isolating myself from the church, from my friends. I had a very, very close friend who said, you cannot isolate yourself like that. You've got to be with strong people who will speak into your life, who will support you. You know, because then you start thinking all the wrong thoughts. And after that, thank God that I knew the Lord. And I did call out to God. And I said, God, help me. Because I was older. My kids had left home. It was very lonely. It was a very lonely time. I was a career person, so I worked very, very hard.
Yeah.
I was in the TV industry, and I loved that. And that's what really kept me going, my career. But inside, I was breaking.
Yeah.
And then what happened after 2 years of my divorce, somebody that I met at a spa, I was actually going to hospital the next day, and I met this woman and we started chatting, and she took my card and I took her card, and then she called me and she said, there's somebody that I want you to meet. So I said, what do you mean? And she said, no, it's a friend of mine. So I said, no. I said, you don't understand. I'm not in a good place and I don't want to meet anybody. Plus, I was a Christian, so I wasn't just going to go out and date a man. You know, I was a mother. I was a wife. I've got two grown-up children. Anyway, then she gave the number to Rusty, and he called me, and I ignored the call. I said, no, no. And he kept calling, and then he WhatsApped, and then we started chatting. And after a week, we did meet, and I thought, you know, God is with me, and we met. And we really, really connected in so many ways. There was something that said to me that you've got to just talk to this man. And we did. We ended up together, and he started talking. I didn't know he was in prison before I met him. He only told me the story afterwards. And it was quite a big thing.
I mean, coming out of a divorce and now for this, getting a man who's just been incarcerated. I mean, really.
In prison, you know, people said to be careful. But what I did, I said, I phoned Pastor Ray and I said, Pastor Ray, I've met this man. Please, can I bring him to you? Introduce him to you so that I had a little bit of a covering.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that it's so important to be surrounded by a good covering.
Right.
In a church. You've got to be in the right church with strong people. Don't just go out and listen to anybody's advice. Don't listen to the wrong voices. Just be covered by wise, strong Christians.
That's powerful.
Yeah, there's so many blind sides to divorce and separation. It's the children, it's your property, it's your vehicles, it's pensions and whatnot. You know, we don't take those things into consideration. I'm sure if people look at the legal side of divorce or even separation, they're going to say, oh no, I think I'll change my mind, because it takes a lot. I mean, they say it's marriage is not for the faint-hearted, but neither is divorce, because you've got to have a bit of oomph in you to want to go through that. I mean, we know what we're talking about, right?
I mean, if I were to just, you know, ask a question, being your second marriage now, what have you done differently versus your previous marriage?
You want me to answer?
Yeah.
I've learned to see the good in the person that you chose. So too many times you will fall in love with somebody and then you try and make them like your property. And you try and make, no one's perfect, only Jesus is perfect. So accept that person's negatives, and she'll accept, if she accepts your negatives, the two of you together will have a bigger network, and you're a stronger force. But if you try and tell her to do things that you don't know anything about, and try and control that, then that's where the breakdown comes. Mm-hmm. But something that I really recommend people do is have the same morals, principles and values. So if somebody is a Christian, a proper Christian, leading a proper Christian life, and you meet someone that's not, that are in love with a carnal life, you're going to have issues. I mean, that's just, that's the way it is. So yeah, my advice really, if you're a Christian, look for a Christian, and not a religious Christian like following the law. Meet someone that actually lives the Christian life, a righteous life. That would be how different I would do it.
Yeah, so. I like that, Jim, because I think a lot of couples don't see that even before when they start dating. Yeah. I always say, you don't have to force your partner or your fiancé or whatever to go to church or to pray. Yeah. Or, you know, he should do it on his own. He should be the one drawing you to church, you know, although you're born again.
Lifestyle.
He should be the one that leads by example. He should be the one reading his Bible.
Yeah.
And he should be the one to say, let us pray about your situation. You know, I remember one of our daughters who had university, and she just met her boyfriend. And I speak to her on the phone and all that. I said, so how is he? What, you know, says his mom, he's really nice, you know. I mean, he even prayed with me just before I wrote my exam. And I said, wow, that's wonderful. You know, so these are the kind of things you look at for in a partner, you know, is how does he respond when you, when there's pressure?
Mm-hmm.
How does he respond, you know, when he's angry?
Yeah.
These are the kind of things. You'll know them by their fruit.
Right.
But, I think, I don't know if you have anything to add there, Sandra.
No, I think what I learned is that God has an order for a husband and a wife. And a lot of the times people don't know that order. You know, the woman becomes the man becomes under the woman. It's just, you've got to understand that God did put an order in place. There is a man has to be respected. Respect is so important for a man. And we've got to learn to respect and not just have all our own opinions and all our own things. And a woman is emotional. A woman needs to be loved, appreciated. And all those things, thank God that we have a church and a place where we can learn about this. You know, so we're always learning, even in our age with everything we've been through, we're always learning to God's way, and He speaks to us. So every day I always say, when you pray and you go into your secret place in the morning, just say, God, what do you want from me today? Not, you know, what can I get all the time?
Sure.
And what can I give? Because it is, you know, marriage is a covenant.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're best friends. We are best friends. You have to be best friends.
I mean, we said earlier you both had come into this marriage. We all come into a marriage with baggage, right? And sometimes I find couples don't heal on their own. They sort of bleed on the one who didn't cut them, you know.
Yes.
And that is quite a problematic in a lot of relationships. That's where a lot of the fights come in. Like, why are you fighting with your husband? Like you said, oh, I try to mold you because this is how I want you. This is how I want my woman to dress. This is how I want my woman to look. I like that about what you were very honest about that. I like that. You know, many men and women even try to change their spouses and vice versa.
I think people take the word submission out of context as well, you know, or enforce it in the wrong way, or you misconstrue it. You know, it's really, like you said, it's that friendship, it's that love. It's, I want to submit to my wife. She wants to submit to me because we love each other. In fact, your book should be coming out as well on submission. But I mean, speaking about the real aspect on that. But we want to hear from the listeners this afternoon. It's really deep conversations we're having. And so when we get back, we're gonna go into some more questions. Hopefully it'll help you. We're going to go over to a song by Hillsong, God is Able. Family, we are so excited. We've been talking about restoration. We've been talking about the life of the divorce. And our guests have given us powerful testimonies. And maybe just Sandra and Rusty, we've listened to your testimonies, but there are listeners out there that need to hear from you. Maybe they're in unique situations, and I heard you mention it earlier, so maybe throwing this question at you, for someone that is or that was separated or someone that is separated at this point in time, when would be a good time for them to start looking at a serious relationship? What do you think?
The first thing that you need to do after a divorce is heal. And healing doesn't come quickly. It takes a couple of years. Unless you healed, you will not receive anybody. If you don't love yourself, don't expect anyone else to love you, and don't think that you will love anyone else. So that's the most important thing for me. And don't think that, you know, I'm baggage now, I'm secondhand.
Yeah.
You're not. It's all part of God's plan. If I look at my life as it's gone, He's prepared me for exactly where I am now. He's prepared Sandra to be where she is. Because if you look at her life and my life and how we've come together, we're making a movie now. She was 26 years in the movie business. My book is a bestseller. It's going like crazy. And it's all for the Lord. It's a spiritual genre. It's what the Lord has done in my life. This wild, hardcore rugby player that never knew anything about the Lord. And my life was all about ego, power, and money. Now, and Satan had sunk his claws deep into my soul. I mean, I was completely lost.
Yeah.
And I'm in a position now where I'm changing people where I was.
Yeah.
And that, I feel, is my calling.
Yeah.
And slowly, you know, when I stopped drinking 3.5 years ago, a lot of people fell away.
Yeah.
And now, slowly, they're stopping.
Yeah.
And they kept calling me and saying, hey, Russ, you know, I made a change. I said, no, but you're Jesus to go now.
It's powerful. And,
yeah.
So that's the biggest thing. You can recover from whatever life throws at you. God has a plan for each and every one of us.
Look, divorce is like a death, basically. You've got to grieve that loss, you know, and to heal, you need to be alone and speak to people and go through the process. I think it was the same for you, Sandra.
Yes. I think you've got to build up your confidence again, because you lose a lot of confidence because you go through rejection and you think, you know, will I be able to have another relationship again? And I think really the only way is Jesus. If you've got to build up, you've got to know who you are in Christ. You've got to get close to God. You really do. And the only way for me how I did that is I went into a place alone with God, and I spoke to him, and I waited for him to speak back to me.
Mm.
Read the word and worship him. Get into his presence, because his presence is amazing. You know, he can really fill you. And I think unless we get full of God's love and understand that he loves us and he has a plan, and build up our faith and knowing that he will bring the right person. Don't run off and choose anybody. Just wait for God, because he does have somebody.
Yeah, true. Ecclesiastes 3, I just want to read the scripture in verse 1 and 4. It says, there's a time for everything. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. You know, sometimes people just have this obsession about checking their ex's social media or whatever. They still haven't gotten over that emotional hurdle. You know, they still have a sense of attachment and belonging and, oh, I miss him, oh, I want him, whatever, you know, or vice versa. And that really, you must want to seriously change and seek God. And without him, you know, we cannot do it. I agree with you completely.
Yeah.
The other thing, Calvin, is don't go out looking for a partner.
Yeah.
Mm.
They will find you.
Yeah.
If you just stay close to God, I mean, it's in the Bible. Seek me, and I'll give you the desires of your heart.
That's incredible. Yeah. And I think people are desperate. They're living in a world. They need comfort. They need someone there. And that's where the problems come in, because they just pick anybody. You know, this person portrays themselves as so beautiful, you know, and I mean, this is the question I might want to pose to you this afternoon is, are there any warning signs to look out for while dating a potential life partner? What do you look out for?
I would say, somebody who wants to do things too quickly, rather just get to know each other, be friends, and really get to know the person. Get to know their morals and values, like Rusty said, their background, you know, where they come from. Have they been divorced 3-4 times? And you've got to look at everything. Yeah.
And a big problem, Calvin, is social media.
Oh, yeah.
Where people are very different to what they portray themselves as.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I just encourage people to just remain grounded.
Yeah.
You don't have to. You know, now on our way here, Sandra was terrified because people are going to see us. It's all live. I said, be yourself. Who cares what you look like, you know?
Mm.
Just be you. You're made in the image of God. You're perfect in his eyes.
Yep.
So that's me. If you love me the way I am, then I'm happy.
Yeah, my thing is, you didn't marry him because he was lonely.
Yeah.
I think you went with him because he was becoming whole.
Yeah.
You know, he was healed in that process, you know.
I saw his heart.
Yeah.
You know, I saw there was a soft heart in him, and I saw the hardness that he had. He had to protect himself from all that he had been through.
But you were also instrumental, because I think at the time he had built up those walls, and so God sent you into his life to break down those walls. So you were instrumental in that as well, so God could enter in further. And that's where the change started happening in your life.
I was still very wounded when I met Sandra.
Yeah.
Physically and emotionally. And it was amazing over the years. Like, it took about 3 years for me to feel healed and content and peace once again.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think in many relationships today, when we observe and we counsel, one of the warning signs I would see is when someone's in your relationship wanting to get something out of you instead of being ready to give into the relationship.
Very important.
You know, it's all that I can get out of you emotionally, financially, whatever.
Yeah.
I think those are big warning signs at the end of the day. And here you have a life partner that came in and she thought, how can I help this man? How can I direct him? Mm. I can see the pain, but you know, I don't want to tell him straight out. God must show him, you know, this, that, and the other. And that's powerful at the end of the day. That's what we want in our lives, you know.
We don't look for the good in our partners.
Yeah.
You know, when you wake up next to your partner in the morning, you can look at her and say, oh, eyes all puffy and the hair's all messed up. Or you can say, wow, the beautiful profile.
Yeah.
Skin is so smooth.
Yeah.
Those things that you fell in love with.
Yeah.
Look at those things.
Yeah.
And we just look for too much of negatives
instead
of lifting each other, like you say.
Yeah.
Give.
Yeah.
Give and you'll receive.
And also you won't find the perfect person. No one is going to come all gift wrapped. Oh, man, she's got everything you need, or he's got ticking all the boxes and all of that, you know. Yeah. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing if God would just send us a box like that? Okay, here's your
box. Perfect box. Yeah, yeah, perfect. Doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
You know.
You find it on social media. Yeah. That's the problem.
And AI does it even better.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
also have the same vision, the same goal. You know, make sure you're both going in the same direction together in unity.
That's powerful.
When you've got two different visions and goals, then you know. Because God puts people together for one vision, one goal, whether it's to have children together or, you know, have a ministry together, or maybe, you know, you just working together or, you know, the husband's going to decide he's going to work, the woman's going to stay at home. But you've got to come to that understanding before you get married. Where are you both going?
Something quick as well, Kelvin, is the importance of health. You know, when you're watching 2,200 people die, you realize how important your health is.
Yeah, especially
just
mentally.
For the audience out there, I challenge you to do a health check, because once your health is gone, everything else in your life will have no meaning whatsoever. Stay healthy. We eat properly. We exercise.
I see you guys look
good. It's so important.
Look good. That's awesome. Family, we want to hear from you this afternoon. Really powerful stuff. So send us your message. We're gonna go over to song break, but we want to be praying for you after the song break. And so if you're reaching out for God, He's going to touch your heart this afternoon for your relationship. We're going to go over to a song by Danny Botha, I Can Run to You. What an afternoon it's been. We've been talking to our guests, Rusty and Sandra Labaskakhni, and they've just shared their testimony and really helped. I believe they've been helping listeners this afternoon. Honey, you just want to share some information?
Yeah, I just discovered that Rusty actually has a book, and it's called Beating Chains.
Sure.
You can find this book on his website, beatingchains.com. All about his life, you know, the incarceration before and after release, the restoration process, and to where God has led him to now. Really profound. I can just imagine life jumping off of these pages for someone who needs to read this, or someone that you know may need this. So go and get it, and get one for the person for a birthday or Christmas gift. Wonderful. We have to put our testimonies out there.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Rusty, now many listeners have listened to you this afternoon, but I want to ask, you know, some of them are in dire situations, and we just want to release them and pray over them, release a blessing over them. So if either of you or both of you just want to pray as we close this afternoon, struggling couples out there, decisions that has to be made as the Lord leads you.
Amen.
Father, I bring every person under the sound of my voice, that you will fill them with forgiveness, gratitude, empathy, hope, and on how powerful you are, Father, how you've changed my life and Sandra's life, how you are actually in control of everything, and at the end of the day, no matter what you're going through in life, once you find the Lord, and once you put your faith in Him, and submit, our lives changed after that completely. And I want to pray for each and every one in their finances, in their protection. Fill them with peace, love, and joy in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I just want to encourage a couple out there that may be thinking of divorce.
Yeah.
It's maybe take a moment, just take a pause, you know, think about this discussion today, think about what Rusty and Sandra spoke about, and what we spoke about on previous shows as well. Divorce is not for the faint-hearted.
Yeah.
So consider a pause. Invite God into your decision and ask Him what He thinks of your decision. Ask Him and hear what He says before you go on a rampage. Amen. Wow.
Amen. Awesome. John Mankopan shares Psalms 133 verse 3, where there is unity, God, the Lord commands a blessing, what we were talking about. Rusty, just before we close, you want to share where you're going to be in 10 days' time? You were mentioning you're speaking at
I'll be speaking in Pietermaritzburg at the Mighty Men Conference with Uncle Angus. Yeah.
Sure.
So I'm very excited about that.
What date is that and the
On
time?
The 8th, 9th, and 10th.
Okay.
And I've got the prime slot, so I'm very
awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. Wow, that's going to be amazing. And if people want to book you for speaking engagements, can they get it on your website?
Yeah.
All right.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Well, we definitely look forward to having you guys back.
Most definitely. Thank you, Rusty and Sandra. We really love you guys, and we decree a blessing over you and whatever the Lord has started in your life. May He complete, may He fulfill all the desires that He's placed on the inside of you. And I just know it's going to come to fruition. So, to our listeners out there, thank you for listening. Send us your voice notes or your messages on WhatsApp and Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. Calvin and Terry saying goodbye until next week.
Don't forget to share the broadcast.
Yeah, don't forget.
Bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks for listening.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.